Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. We are so blessed that you join us. We have something special lined up for you today. Our good friend Tom Donnan is back again, and every time Tom and I get together, we never know where this conversation will lead. We just enjoy. Oh, man. We've been talking for 10 or 15 minutes here before we even started this recording, and we realized, you know what? We need to be talking about this on the air. it's good. Tom has a unique perspective on things going on in the world, and you know, we always talk about that. You know, the signs of the end times are all around us, and the interesting phenomena that's going on that's usually not even reported in the news. But today, we're going to be talking about his new book, One Door Between Us. Tom, welcome back to the program, buddy.
Pastor, thank you very much for having me. You know, like you said before, that we've already been talking like 10, 15 minutes,
yeah.
And the time just flies by when the two of us get together.
Oh, I know it. And you know, that's what I said. We're talking about deep things, you know, and we're like, wow, this is great. I looked up and said, you know what? We're wasting precious recording time. This could be a whole episode of what we're talking about, you know?
Whoa.
Oh, man. God is so good and that he brought us together, and we are so like-minded. It's like, you know, we're brothers from a different mother type thing, you know, because it seems like, you know, we think the same way, you know, we interpret things the same way, and, well, we know where we're ultimately ended up, the same place, and that's called heaven. Amen. But, you know, just to catch people up that this may be the first time they're listening to us, tell us, in your own words, who is Tom Donnan?
I guess I categorize myself as a servant of the Lord. You know, sometimes walking on the spiritual path, we are in between good and evil, two superpowers. And sometimes I just have to stop and say, Lord, listen, I'm just a man, you know. And so because the intensity can be pretty overpowering sometimes. But the thing is that I love the journey. I absolutely love experiencing God and seeing him used and seeing him work and touching people's lives with the supernatural. It is just so much fun, especially when somebody receives a healing. I travel with Pastor Phil Corbett, and I've seen hundreds of people healed, you know, and then God brought me to write a book, which is absolutely a miracle in itself because I'm mechanically orientated, and constructing a sentence is just not part of my DNA, you know. And so Microsoft Word, I can finally write a page without a blue, green, or red, you know, line on it, you know.
Because you got autocorrect. So,
oh, you gave it away.
I use that all the time.
Whoa. Yeah. So that's a little tidbit of what God's been doing in my life. I love it.
Amen. Now, your new book is One Door Between Us. Before we get into that, we are talking about your book, Healing the Nation. Let's talk about how relevant that is for today.
Well, that's what brought the two of us together, is that was the first interview. And if you remember, oh, man, I was in panic mode, you know, because here we are. We got this scheduled interview. I had gotten the equipment that I needed to be able to Skype with you and to be able to have that. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm up early praying for the interview, and the internet goes down. And I'm thinking, what the heck, you know? And I'm thinking, I can't believe this. All right, so then I'm scrambling to get the internet, and I got to use passwords, and I got to make phone calls, you know. And then the next thing it is that there was something else that broke down, and it was only just minutes before the interview that everything came together. And I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus, for this, you know. And that was the beginning of the interviews, and it was over we started talking about the book Healing the Nation. which is filled with the supernatural.
Yeah.
And so the important part is that God has developed my life to be able to understand what goes on beyond the veil. And I try to help people see that. And as well as in the church, it opens up with the first chapter is a church that has spiritual hindrances and how God used me to be able to identify them and then intercede through prayers for the removal and how the church had changed within the first 6 months. You know, and so it was really kind of amazing because there was about 200 people in a church that could hold 400. And when I went back, there was about 300, but it was different. And the thing is that when the spiritual hindrances were removed, the heavens opened and there was more spiritual light. And they lost like half their people,
yeah.
you know, which was
yeah.
like bizarre. And then because of the spiritual light, it attracted more people, you know. And so it was like absolutely amazing. But I want people to understand that God has been developing me to walk in the supernatural for a long time. And that's what part of the book is. But then we get into the fact of what God wants to do here in America in the American church, which sounds bizarre because you would think a message like this would be out all over the place.
Right.
Nope. And that is on January 20th of 2006. I had an experience that gets me in trouble all the time. You know, you talk, you and I talk, and I say, "Oh, this one's going to cost me." I'm sure, you know. And even being a Pentecostal, I have Pentecostals say, "Tom, are you telling me that you had an out of body experience?" And I will say, "Listen, all I can tell you is that one moment I'm in my bed, and the next moment I am in this office with this legal man, this advocate, this lawyer, and he gives me a contract to be able to share the presence of God and a transfer of spiritual ownership with pastors and churches." And so the next thing I know is that I'm back in the bed, and I'm like crying because I'm minimizing the story, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like crying because I was in the presence of my two daughters that illustrated the church, you know, the daughters of the church. And so to be with my daughters again was just absolutely awesome. They were young and we had so much fun. And then just being in their presence for that, it was real. I'm telling you,
yeah.
it was real. I don't know how he did it, but he can do a lot of things that I don't understand. And from that time forward, I've been trying to share this message. But then in 2006, here's where is another one that's like really over the top. No, in 2010, excuse me. I was going to speak in Tyler, Texas. And Pastor Jim likes to get to know the people who are going to take his pulpit. So on Saturday night, we're sitting in his office and we're having a conversation 2 hours, just like you and me, swapping God stories, you know? And the time just flying by. As a matter of fact, his wife came in and said, "Hey, are you guys coming for dinner or what?" You know? And so we went on swapping stories, and then about the two-hour mark, a book comes flying off the top bookshelf, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's catapulted off the bookshelf, falls between our feet. We look at each other, and I said, "Jim, I think we just got a message." No. So in light, making it this situation light, I said, "You know, if it wasn't for you or me being here," I said, "if it was anybody else, they'd be running for the door." You know?
Yeah.
So I picked up the book, and it was a small booklet by Dr. D. James Kennedy, and it was a summary of the Declaration of Independence and more about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm thinking, okay, I took a picture of it, and I did my sermon on Sunday morning, and then when I got home, God started to allow me to experience what's going to happen to America if the Constitution falls.
Mm.
Now, this is 2010. Nobody's worried about the Constitution. When I'm writing the book in 2013, nobody's worrying about the Constitution. And now we're watching it crumble before our very eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
So I get, you know, beside myself thinking, what in the world? How bad is it going to get? You know? And so I put four illustrations in the book. The illustrations are the things that I had seen. If the elitists get into control, there's going to be, how would you say it, slavery. I was a slave. I was brought somewhere by God. I lived this experience. I was a slave. I had no liberty whatsoever. I was torn from my family. I had to do what they tell me. Otherwise, they would eliminate me and just get somebody else to do it. And so I was thinking for my freedom every second. I'm trying to figure out how to get my freedom. And I lived this experience for a certain amount of time, and then God brought me back to my room, and then gut-wrenching, you know, tears, pleading with God that this would never happen. That was the first experience. I had more than 90 of them over the course of the following year, and I put 4 in the book to help see that we are living like in the book of Amos. Now, how many people go out of their way to read the book of Amos? Not too many.
Is that a book?
Yeah, so we're kind of like living the book of Amos where somebody's coming up and saying, hey, listen, we need to repent. And they tell them, you know, go back to your sheep herding, you know, sheep herding and leave us alone. And so that's part of the message is that we got to reduce our sin debt. You know, we have a huge national financial debt. Well, we got a huge financial, not financial, but a huge spiritual sin debt. And if we don't start offsetting it with repentance, we're going down. And it's going to be over. America, as we know it, is going to be over.
Let me just interject something right here. When you talk about the huge financial debt in this nation, how many people have you heard say, this debt will never be, it's impossible to repay the debt. It's never going to be paid off. There is a way to pay it off, and that's debt cancellation. Just cancel it, right? How the sin debt we have can never be paid. The only way it can be paid is to have it canceled, and the only way it got canceled because somebody had to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that was Jesus. Yeah.
Yes. So.
Good tie-in.
So. Well, no, that's exactly it, you know, and so sometimes I brush over things, you know, but this is the point. The point is that being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ is the avenue by which sins are removed and never thought of again by God. No, and so we have all this huge debt, of course, the sin debt. And without going into repentance so that we can have it removed by Jesus and his blood, it's still sitting out there in front of us, and it just gets worse all the time, you know? And so we need to have that debt canceled, and that's the hard part. Yeah. Nobody wants to deal with their own sin. They would rather say, hey, you know, why don't you deal with it, you know? And there's a certain amount of pain. People don't want to go into their own pain. But then just like with in the book of Amos, eventually, God said, okay, enough is enough, and they were invaded, and life as they know it was over. And so we are in that period now where America is, God's waiting for America to start turning towards him, and it is starting to begin, but I get concerned that how much time do we have? I don't think we have a lot of time to be able to see this turnaround. And so repentance. But then there's good news, too, is that last March 20th, I had this wonderful message from God showing that any church that would enter into repentance, he was going to give them a precious gift. Mm. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is like good, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but when you get back to the story of repentance, you know, that's a hard sell. And that's what I say. It's a hard sell. And the other part is that we got so many lukewarm Christians, it's killing us.
There you go.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's the premise of the first book is first to help people see that the spiritual development, because I want people to know that God is with the man so that when they get to the vision and they get to the explanation of what's going to happen, that they already have decided, is God with this guy or not?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
And so the first part of the book is to help them to become experiential and to see the development. And then really hoping I had this man. I think we talked about this before. Down in Southern Illinois, somebody gave him a copy of the book, and he got so shook up that on a Wednesday, he was driving around trying to find a church that was open for a midweek service. Now, they used to be pretty prevalent, but they're not so much anymore.
Yeah.
And he found a church, and he begged them to pray with him. That man has been on fire ever since.
Amen.
Not only him, but his entire family. Praise God on that one.
Yeah, amen.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's one of the problems is, well, it's not popular to have Wednesday night services anymore. Not many people come out. If one person showed up and got born again, like this guy did, would it be worth it?
Whoa. Oh, but, of course.
But what do you think the offering would be if only one person showed up? Oh, did I talk about offerings again? Oh, well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And you can tell where the focus is on the churches.
Yeah. Well, I will say at the church where I am now attending, Joliet First Assembly is that they have a Thursday prayer meeting in the morning, mm-hmm. and then at 6:30 at night, and we have anywhere in between 150 and 300 people show up, and that's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that's not the norm, but it's changing things.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was talking with the pastor the other day, and we talked about how a lot of churches are just basically businesses. They run on a business model. The pastors are businessmen. As far as what they're doing, they're not preaching the things that some people say, well, I didn't like that, I'm going to leave. They try to stay away from those topics, and the emphasis is on basically growing the crowd to grow the offering, because then we can do more work. But yet, more work means probably hiring more staff. They don't rely on the volunteer aspect because nobody wants to volunteer. They want to be paid for everything. I mentioned, when's the last time Pastor got up and said, I'm so tired of, having to focus on finance. We're not even collecting an offering today. We're not going to do it. If you want to come give, you can after service, just drop it in the offering plate. But we're not going to pass the offering plate. It's done. We're not doing it today. I'm just going to preach. I don't think I've ever heard a pastor say that.
Wow. Yes.
Moses told him, stop giving. We got too much already. Today it'd be like, you guys are awesome. We can do more stuff. Keep it coming.
Yes. Well, I try to see the upside of what God's doing for the church, and I like to throw my support into that area.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it is really good stuff, and I want to see it increase and escalate and avalanche. To where it becomes contagious, and that is a fun part too. We love seeing when somebody's eyes are opened to something new in the spiritual dynamic. Yeah. Oh, that's like when it's really, really fun. I really enjoy that. And so that's where I'm hoping that more of the churches. That's why currently I am trying to see if I can become credentialed for the Assembly of God. I'm going through the vetting process right now.
Yeah.
And so because I'm thinking to myself, okay, maybe I could reach more people on the inside than from the outside, and whatever it is that you got for me, Lord, let's do it, And so that's where I'm hoping, because I'll tell you what, it's the church. It's the church that's going to make a difference here in America.
Amen. Yeah, a friend of mine just went, he finished his, he showed me, he got his license the past 2 weeks anyway. But it took him about 2 years to go through everything. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a process. He had some things that, they wanted more information on in his past and stuff like that. That's what I was trying to say. It's a process.
Okay. All right. I was thinking, let's get it going.
Yeah, get it going, because, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with that first step.
I don't like that 1,000 miles. Let's get going.
Amen. The Healing the Nation, that's available on Amazon?
Yes, it is. And it's also on the Ingram website, where bookstores can order it through Ingram.
Laura Ingram?
To be able, Ingram Anchor Distributors.
I say Laura Ingram, the anchor on Fox News?
No. Don't bother her. Yeah, it's not gonna be good, I don't think. So
as Paul would say, bear with me a little in my folly. So
Well, that's why we have fun.
Amen. But I'll put the links to that, folks, in the show notes. So all you got to do is click on it and be taken right there, because it is a great book. It really is. Our topic of discussion today is going to be about Tom's latest book called One Door Between Us. Now, Tom, tell us about One Door Between Us, how you came up with that concept, how you came up with the name, and what the book is about.
All right, a little bit of background information first is that I decided with the first three books, it's more helping people to get closer to God, and it's instructional as well as intercessory prayers to be able to aid people in going that direction. So they weren't doing real good. So I was in a library one day, and I'm looking at all these books. There's, thousands and thousands of books. And it occurred to me that people like a good story. All right. So then I decided, okay, the publisher has been pushing that. They said, oh, we can get you a small booklet, you know, at a very good price right now. So I decided to write a true story in a fictional type of way and use some creative license to be able to illustrate what God was doing in a pastor's life. Yeah, because he had gotten sick, you know, and if he didn't get the ear of God, he was going to die. But he did get the ear of God, and God dispatched Pastor Phil and myself into his life and then brought healing and then brought deliverance from what had contributed to it. And once I had finished that story, you know, and it's based off of 2 Chronicles 7:14. I illustrate very clearly how that scripture works. And from behind the veil and in front of the veil, you know, this is where I want people to understand. I let you get a glimpse of how this works. Know how God works on one side and we're on the other, and how he releases things. And so I finished that book, and then I started to look for my next person that I could write about, because, you know, writers write, right?
That's right. That's usually what they do.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, so I was out in Oklahoma City with Pastor Phil. We were invited to go out there and minister at a church. And while we were there, there was three lady pastors that were hosting us, and I invited them out to coffee at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in between meetings. And when I started to listen to their stories, I couldn't believe how good it is. And that's when I decided, okay, this is my next topic for a book. But my first thought was that I would have another small booklet and that I would write it and somehow weave in the three of them, plus Phil and myself, and what we had done in the ministering out there. And it didn't work. Now, before I continue on, I got to tell you that 7 months before, I'm in North Carolina, in a place called Moravian Falls, North Carolina, where the Moravians had bought a piece of property, deeded it to Jesus Christ, and up on top of the hill, they had prayed every day for more than 100 years, and people flock up there, you know. And so I go up there usually once a year, and I spend some time, and there was 25 Korean pastors who came halfway across the world to go there to a conference and to experience God, because it's known for angelic visitations, right? And so I'm up there by myself, and another car comes up, and here it is, the Korean lady who is the interpreter for the pastors. She had come up there for some quiet prayer. And on the way out, we were both leaving at the same time, and we're walking down towards our cars, and she stops. She gets a blank look on her face, and she says, "You're going to write a series of books." And I'm thinking, okay, I got a manuscript in my car right now. So, you know, and then we get in our cars and we leave. Now, why is that important? Because last January, I'm at 50,000 words and I haven't even gotten off of the senior pastor, right? Production costs for this stuff is high for somebody who's on, you know, fixed income, yeah. You know, being retired now.
Yeah.
And I was panicking. I was panicking big time, right? So I'm pacing back and forth. And all of a sudden, I remember this prophecy and I realized, okay, well, this is going to be a series of books, so relax and get busy and start writing. Now, about the senior pastor, I couldn't believe how much supernatural there was in their lives from very young in her life, right? So I'm interviewing her by phone, and she's very, very humble, you know, and very secretive and private. And so I would have to, like, pull the information out of her, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm glad you told me. This is, like, good stuff, no? And so I got the idea of interweaving, you know, like, again, the spiritual realm, and I start the book 1 week before salvation comes to the household, you see? Mm-hmm. And then I illustrate what life was in the world, and then there's a knock on the door on a Wednesday, and a Baptist pastor and his wife are invited in because people are polite during the 60s. It started in 1964 is where the book starts. And people are polite to pastors, so they invite him in to listen to him. And it's like the third time in like a week's time that somebody had knocked on the door and are thinking, oh, boy, here we go, right? But then I illustrate how grace entered the room. and how the knowledge of salvation came over them, and how the angels were already stationed around them, and how the spiritual realm opened up, and the host of heavenly, you know, the volume of heavenly hosts are singing. And then from off in the distance, you can hear the roaring wind coming because they're about to receive salvation. Mm-hmm. And then he burst into the kitchen, and he breaks off into, you know, two streams and enters their hearts. And the family, for the husband and wife, the family is never the same. And so salvation is explained very clearly, step by step, and how it interacted with their lives. And then how healing came for one of them, because if the healing didn't come, they were going to eventually die, and I explain all of that. And then go on to where the main character, Ariel, is, and I got a lot of prophetic stuff weaved in there, you know, numbers and names and stuff, you know, and dreams and visions and experiences. Uh-huh. And so, and how they work, like, you know, from the book of Acts. And Ariel is a very curious girl who wants to know the truth, so she's always looking for the clues, and it's a lifelong journey. But she also sets lofty goals for education, and she achieves all of her goals. And eventually she comes to a point where she's in the army as a nurse, and she has been living, you know, there for a couple of years in Fort Sills in, what is that, Oklahoma, Fort Sills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a nurse that she was working with, that were friends, was a romantic. You know, she loved to set people up. She, if you were single, you needed to have somebody, right? So she's trying to set up blind date after blind date after blind date. And Ariel is just blowing her off because she didn't like the men that she liked. You know, she was a good Christian girl, and she wanted some. And finally, this woman found the weakness, right? And she sets her up on a date. And she forgot. She forgot. The guy shows up and she's not even there, you know, because she didn't expect it to happen. But when it was rescheduled, that's when everything changed. She opened up the door, and I won't give it away from there. And then later on in her life, she opens up another door to the call of God upon her life. And then she starts ministering in the supernatural. She went to Africa, saw stuff happen that we just don't see in America, and it changed her to where she wants to become a minister herself, and in the assemblies, and she now is working in a ministry with these two other ladies, and so that is the cliff notes, you know, kind of like.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode of our interview with Tom Donnan discussing his new book, One Door Between Us. Now, he's given you the information on the background of the book and how the theme got started. This is the first in a series of books that he's writing, and I can tell right away it's going to be a great series. And you need to come back tomorrow to join us for the conclusion of this interview. If you want to get that book, go down to the show links down below and just click on the link for purchasing the book on Amazon. It's an awesome book. Tom's an awesome guy, a great man of God. This interview is chock full of information, and you do not want to miss coming back tomorrow to join us as we conclude our interview with Tom Donnan and discussing his new book, One Door Between Us. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait.
Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.